All right, we're going to jump into week two of our Quest for the Kingdom series. Last week, we kind of kicked off our series, and we've been kind of looking at the idea of the kingdom. Jesus talked a lot about it, but for us, sometimes it can be a little hard to understand. So he talks a lot about it, tells a lot of parables about it, so that we can kind of understand a little bit more about it. As we kind of talked about last week, when it comes to the kingdom, he kind of began that process and kind of began the start of that when he came his first time, but truly it's going to be established when Jesus comes back the second time. So we're going to be taking some time over the next several weeks to look in Matthew 13, because in Matthew 13, Jesus talks a lot about the kingdom. He tells several parables about the kingdom, and it'll help us to understand a little bit more about what the kingdom looks like today in the present, but also what the kingdom is going to look like in the future, when Jesus comes and establishes this kingdom that we are so much looking forward to. So again, last week we started with the parable of the soils, or the sower, depending on how you see it, and we talked about how we receive the kingdom, how the kingdom reception in our hearts is really important, because that soil obviously is going to represent our hearts and how we receive it. And we talked about three soils that didn't receive and one soil that did. And so this morning, in a lot of ways, as we continue on in this series, Jesus kind of keeps us in that agricultural mindset. Obviously, to his listeners, they were very aware of the agricultural side of things, because they didn't just go down to Walmart or Target and buy some food. They had to grow it themselves. So they understood this very well. And so Jesus is going to kind of keep us there as he kind of continues to walk us through these concepts and ideas when it comes to the kingdom. But before we really jump in, let's pray. Father, we love you. And again, we thank you for this morning and this time. We thank you so much for this opportunity to come and be together and learn about you, learn about the kingdom that you have begun to inaugurate, and Father, that kingdom that eventually you will establish when you return. And so, God, we look forward to that. We look with longing hearts and hopeful hearts, knowing that one day you are going to come and make it all right. And Father, we can look forward to that. And even though at times, Father, we live in the tension of knowing that we serve a different king, God, I pray that you would open our hearts to this and change us in the ways that you desire to do it. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to start this morning by telling you a story about two brothers. Kind of interesting that when we look at scripture all the way back to Genesis, we kind of begin to see this idea of two brothers. In fact, it's kind of one of those stories that's been around for a long time. Obviously, I'm talking about Cain and Abel and how these two brothers had some issues. One was able to really please God with his heart and his life and his sacrifice, and the other didn't at all, because he kind of did his own thing and kind of thought he could kind of shortchange God and all these sort of things. And even in the very, very first family, there became this tension and this conflict that came. And what's interesting is, and you look at history, whether it be your own history possibly or the history in our world, we continue to see that conflict. We continue to see kind of some of those things going on that are really causing some problems and some issues. So I want to tell you a story this morning to kind of break us into this, about two brothers that lived, about 120 so years ago, maybe more. My math is really bad. But here's what's interesting about these two guys. They both kind of obviously grew up in the same household. They basically had the same family, and they kind of were raised in the same way. One obviously was older than the other. In fact, not only did they basically raise the same way with the same home life and home situation, some of those would be good and obviously some of those would be bad, they actually grew up and had the same profession. And in fact, they were actually some of the most famous in their profession during the time. Everyone really knew who they were, especially in a time where, again, 100, 20, 30 years ago or whatever it is, you didn't have TV, you didn't have social media, obviously. And so it was not as easy to be famous, if that makes sense, during the time. But these two brothers were. In fact, they were probably some of the most popular, famous individuals in their field during that time. And it really wasn't even close. But there began to be a little bit of problems in their family. They begin to have a little bit of disagreement on some issues, and basically they begin to grow apart, and one began to feel a certain way about a certain idea and concept, and another kind of started to go their own way. And over time and over years, they grew apart, and they definitely grew apart when it came to what they believed was right and what they believed was wrong. one of those brothers, in fact, on April 14th, 1865, walked into Ford's Theater with a small pistol under his jacket. You see, he was a famous actor. In fact, if Heather, you want to put his picture up, I think most of you will recognize this man. His name was John Wilkes Booth. He walked into Ford's Theater. He knew the area very well. He had acted there many, many times. If you didn't know this, John Wilkes Booth was an actor. In fact, he was one of the most famous actors in the country. He walked into the presidential box after making sure everything was just where he needed it and just the way he wanted it. And obviously, as history tells us, and as you probably know, he leveled his Derringer in the back of President Lincoln's head, and he pulled the trigger. At that moment, obviously, everything in his life, everything in our country's life, changed very dramatically. But most of us know that story. What most of us do not know is that John had a brother. His name, and his picture will show up here in a minute, was Edwin. Edwin was also a famous actor. In fact, most people believe that Edwin was a more famous actor than John Wilkes Booth. And what's interesting about his story is, as he and his brother grew apart, they didn't spend a lot of time together. And basically, in 1863, Edwin just happened to be in the New Jersey area. He was at a train station and basically was kind of there on the platform. And as he was there, basically it was kind of a crowded platform and all these sort of things. And he was kind of up front. Well, basically because of kind of how things went at that time, the train kind of lurched forward. And because people were kind of pressed up against each other, a young man about 20 years old fell down from the platform in between two heavy cars. Well, as this is happening, the train is now beginning to move, and obviously you get a big old train, it's not going to move or stop easily. And so all of a sudden, Edwin looks and he sees this young man who is just about ready to be crushed in between these two cars. Quickly, without hesitation, he reached down, grabbed the coat of the young man, pulled him up, and saved his life. That 20-year-old just happened to be Robert Lincoln, the son of Abraham Lincoln. It's interesting. One Booth kills Lincoln, and one Booth saves Lincoln. In fact, after that time, that story became very well known. It was interesting because Robert knew immediately who his savior really was in that moment. He knew who Edwin was because he was a famous actor at the time. Thanked him by name. And it's interesting because at the time, soon thereafter, the joke, if that's a weird way to put it at the time, was Booth actually didn't kill Lincoln, he saved Lincoln. Even though one brother took life and one saved life. One of the issues that we deal with as people who are in the tension of the kingdom, meaning we live in this kingdom of this world, but we follow a different king. We talked a little bit about that, is we have sometimes a question that comes to our minds, and at least for sure comes to mind. It's simply this: what shall we do with a kingdom mixed with bad and good? What do we do with this? How do we have a situation where two young men can be raised the same way and choose such different paths? But yet we live in a world like that. We live in a situation. Well, in the parable that we're going to be looking at this morning, found in Matthew 13, Jesus tries to help us to answer that question and to see exactly how not only is that going to be dealt with today, but dealt with in the future. Matthew 13, if you have your Bibles, we're looking at verse 24 into the first part of 28. This is what it says. It says, Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where did the weeds come from? An enemy did this, he replied. to help us understand this parable and understand this concept and really kind of answer this question that Jesus is kind of posing to us that all of us at times probably have asked, we need to see this parable in Jesus in three acts. We're going to break it down and look at this together to hopefully see not only what God is doing now, but what he eventually will do. The first act, of course, is the sowing act. This is the act of the sowing. This is where basically in the story, we see two different individuals. Now, later on in Matthew, Jesus explains all this a little bit more in detail and kind of goes into it. But just for sake of clarity and just to sake for what we're going to be sharing this morning, we just need to understand that basically God is basically the one, or Jesus is the one that's out scattering his seed. But there's also another person who's scattering seed. Sometimes it's easy for us to see that, and sometimes it isn't. So in this idea, this act, God is kind of going out, and it kind of follows, again, obviously, the story and the parable we looked at last week of the sower. And so God is kind of going out, and he's spreading out his seed. In fact, in the story, he's spreading good seed, it specifically says, out into his field. He's sowing that wheat that's going to grow and become bring forth a harvest and all those things. And basically, he's kind of throwing that out there. Well, after he does his thing and he's throwing the seed and he's doing these things, an enemy comes. And an enemy begins to also spread seed. Now, here's what's interesting about that. To Jesus' hearers, they would understood this immediately. Because in fact, this was actually something that people would do in warfare all the time. If you went in to conquer a place or was trying to conquer a place, sometimes what you would do is you would go to their fields, and some of you heard this before, and especially what they would do is they would take salt, and they would throw salt on the ground to make the field infertile. Or what they would do is exactly what basically Jesus is talking about here, where basically they would go into the field and begin to put out the weeds and put out the, or the tares, depending on what your translation says, and basically begin to destroy the food supply. In fact, there is a time that because this was so cruel and because this was actually so looked at as basically not a fair way to fight, the Romans actually disallowed it. They basically got to a point where they said, you can't do that anymore. Basically, you know, we have the Geneva Convention. Basically now, like that's it basically turned into a war crime. That's how devastating this could be to people and to a society and to agriculture. And so Jesus is basically not talking about something here that's little or is that not going to affect things in a massive way. He's trying to get us to see that God is out there and he is sowing good seeds, but there's also an enemy that's sowing bad. And sometimes it seems like as believers, we forget that there are two sowers in our world still that are sowing their own seeds. You see, here's the deal. As God is scattering his seeds of his kingdom, the seeds of love, joy, life, peace, the enemy is scattering the seeds of his, which is fear, death, pride, confusion. I could have gone on and on and on, but you get the point here. We have to understand that in the world we live in the kingdom that we live in, there are two different sowers that are sowing two different types of seed. And here's the thing. Here's the thing that you need to understand. As a believer, you are not exempt from the enemy trying to sow his seeds in your heart and in your life. You see, a lot of us like, oh, well, you know, I'm a believer now. I got Jesus in my heart. And so the enemy looks at me and goes, oh, well, I shouldn't mess with him. I shouldn't waste my seed on him or her. Can I just be honest with you? I don't know about you, but there's times in my life where it seems like the enemy, he's not going less seed, he's going more seed in my life. And he is trying to sow discord, he's trying to sow death, he's trying to sow confusion and fear and doubt and all these things. And so I want to stop for just a second and ask you a question. When you look at your heart, what is growing there? What's growing there? Is it that love and that peace and that joy, that kindness, the goodness, you know, the fruit of the Spirit kind of things? Or is it fear, doubt, bitterness, anger, frustration? What is growing? Because here's the thing. Here's what's great about our hearts as God transforms them. He can make it where basically our heart, our soil, we kind of talked about this last week, is good soil that will accept his seeds and reject the seeds of the enemy. It depends on which part of your heart you till and make ready for the seed that's going to come. Okay? See, a lot of us, we want to blame the enemy for the things growing in our hearts. When a lot of times what we need to do is look deep in our hearts and go, am I basically cultivating heart seeds in me that are going to work real well for the enemy? Okay? Let me give you an example of this. Okay? We live in Colorado. I know you know that. You know what I've never seen in Colorado? Now, maybe there is one. I don't know. I haven't been here the whole time. I don't know, but I don't think there is. I haven't seen one palm tree in Colorado. Okay? Not one. Now, what's interesting about palm trees is they grow just fine. I mean, I've seen palm trees. Palm trees are big, real tall. I think, do they all have coconuts? I don't know. I don't like coconuts, so who cares, you know. The big old trees. But you know what? You take a, you know, you go down to maybe Florida or you're California. I've seen them in Arizona. And man, they do great. They do great there. But if you took a palm tree and you said, man, I'd really like a palm tree in my backyard. I don't know why you would. But if you do, and you kind of, you know, dig one up and you put it on a truck and you bring it here and you plant it, you know, I don't think it's going to last one winter. Why? Why won't a palm tree grow well here? Because the climate and the soil won't allow it. Okay? Now let's stop for just a minute and let's hit time out. Because this is real easy. We can go past this. There are things, let's just use this as an example. There are things, there are palm trees that the enemy wants to plant in your life. And I think we all deal with this at times. The question is your heart been transformed enough by Jesus where when he tries to plant a palm tree, it won't grow because the climate of Jesus' love, grace, mercy, goodness, kindness, patience, self-control is so great that it refuses to grow there? Or can he plant it and all of a sudden, good Lord, it grows 100 feet tall? Which one is it? I think that's important that we stop and take a moment and look at our hearts because we start with the sowing act. The next is the growing act. There's the growing act. So there's the sowing act and there's a growing act. Now I think before we get into the growing act, we need to ask ourselves a question or think about something because I know as I read this story as younger in my life and even now as we were studying and kind of putting this together, I kind of have a question. And what's interesting about it is I think our question that I have and that you have is so common that we actually see it in the parable. We actually see it from the harvesters. Basically, this is the question. It says, God, why don't you just pull the weeds? You know, have you ever been someplace? You know, listen, some of you know this, some of you don't. I used to work when I was in college, I used to work at a restaurant. So I was a server at a restaurant. So because of that experience in my life, I am very sensitive to how people treat waiters and waitresses. Okay? Like, that matters to me. And here's the deal. I am a very, I was going to say picky. I'm a very selective eater. Okay? Like, I don't like stuff on my, you know, like you know, you go and you have a cheeseburger and you put all sorts of yucky stuff on it. I don't. So if stuff comes and it is not right, like, I don't like that. I will say, can I please, you know, embarrasses Emily and makes Easton wish he was someplace else, but I'll send it back because I don't like mustard and mayonnaise because I believe in the Lord. And so I'll send it back. So I'm not necessarily an easy individual in the situation, you know, but I'm very sensitive to that. And you want to get me hot and you want to get me frustrated and you want to get me angry is if I go to a restaurant and I see someone mistreating a waiter or a waitress, especially because here's the deal, you know, it's not always their fault, you know. And people berating them or being mad at them or whatever, I mean, that really, really bothers me. And there's times in those moments where I'm watching that and I'm going, God, pull the weeds. Just, you know, pull them, lightning bolt them, do whatever, just pull the weeds. And listen, I know that there's probably things that kind of bug you and there's things that happen in your life. And so we kind of have that question, God, why don't you just pull the weeds? Why don't you just take care of these issues? Why don't you just take care of this? And again, in fact, in Matthew 13, the second part of verse 28, the servants asked Jesus, or asked the Lord that. They say, "Why do you want us to go out there and pull them up?" Yeah, I can see, and just so you know, this is the angels. Jesus tells us later in Matthew 13 that these are the angels, and they're basically kind of watching. That's who the harvesters represent. And so the angels are kind of sitting there, you know, and they're kind of looking over, kind of maybe and going, you know, "Hey, we can get some weeds pulled here. We can get some weeds taken care of." And the Lord responds to them in an interesting way. Here's what he says in Matthew 13. We're going to look at verses 29 and look at verse number 30. It says, "No." So they ask to pull the weeds. He says, "No. Because while you're pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest." Now, this is where it gets a little interesting. Because I think there's a little bit of I see this in a little maybe different way than maybe you have been taught before or seen before. Now, maybe not. But I think we have to understand something that's a little interesting about this. We have to dig a little bit deeper and try to figure out what Jesus is talking about here. Because here's the thing. If you and I go out, okay, and we go out to my front yard, okay, we should be able to tell the difference between basically, let's just say, grass and a weed, right? We should be able to look at that and go, "That's a weed, that's grass." Now, it can be a little bit harder if maybe you have some flowers that haven't bloomed yet. Now, is that a flower? Is that a weed? It becomes a little bit more difficult. We believe that what Jesus was talking about was a specific type of weed that was prevalent during his time and prevalent during the time of when the wheat harvest would go on. And so here's the thing, and we're going to get to this in just a minute in your notes, so don't jump there quite yet.
Okay.
So we believe that this was a weed. Jesus was talking about a weed called darnel. Okay. Now what's interesting about darnel is as it would grow, it would typically grow it during the same season as wheat. It would also look extremely like wheat. In fact, if you put two next to each other, you would have a hard time saying which was the wheat and which is the darnel until the very, very end. Okay? Unless you were really, really trained in understanding the difference. So most people would have seen it and basically looked and gone, "I can't tell the difference." Now let's jump into your notes. This is what it really kind of, you know, brings to understand. It says, the weeds that Jesus is talking about is probably darnel, a poisonous plant related to wheat and virtually indistinguishable from it until the ears form. So as it begins to break through the soil, okay, everything looks the same. As the stalks grow, everything looks the same. Over time, everything looks the same. You would not be able to see the difference until the very end when the weeds and the wheat begin to basically either put forth poison or put forth the form of wheat life. You wouldn't be able to tell the difference. In a lot of ways, what Jesus is communicating, even to the angels here, is you won't be able to tell the difference. And because you won't be able to tell the difference, you're going to just start grabbing. And when you start grabbing, you're going to start yanking some stuff up that truly was wheat or that could become wheat. One of the answers, I truly believe, of why God doesn't just pull them up, why God just doesn't deal with them now, is because for some of us, we look and we see things and we don't understand that maybe, just maybe, the weeds that we think are weeds are actually pre-wheat. There are things that God is going to do that we don't see yet or we don't understand. You see, I believe that God is delaying his global day of justice because there are plants in the world which appear to you and me to be weeds, but are in fact pre-wheat. There are wheat that's coming. There are wheat that basically they're growing up and maybe we look at them and we make our decisions. Oh, they must be weeds. They must be weeds. Look what they're doing. Or look how they're handling this situation. And God maybe is looking going, you know what? You don't quite know yet what I'm going to do. Look at 2 Peter 3:9. Wonderful verse, a verse that we need to remind ourselves of times. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Can I ask you a quick question that is not going to be easy for you maybe to answer? Do you agree with this verse enough in your life where you want the same? Because I'll be honest, I don't always feel this way. I admitted it sometimes. You know, the person treating the waiter bad. You know, I don't want patience, Lord. I want justice. The reason why we have not yet seen God pull the weeds, and listen, just a little spoiler alert, the weeds are going to get pulled, okay? Is because of his great love, because of his patience, because there are some people I truly believe that may look like weeds to you and I that God is going to transform into wheat. Look at Paul writes. This is interesting in 2 Corinthians. We're going to look first at verse number 16 of chapter 5, and then we're going to go to 17. You're going to recognize 17, but not very many of us will recognize 16. This is what he says. He says, so from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Let me stop here for a second. Let me give you a little more context. Basically, what's happening here is Paul is talking about how we saw Jesus as a collective, as a people, as we look in the New Testament. And how we saw Jesus was simply this. Most people, they said, this couldn't be the Messiah. He's just a carpenter's son. He's just the son of Mary. He's just we know his brothers and his sisters. They're around us all the time. Like, he could not be who he claims to be. And we looked at Jesus from a worldly point of view. We looked at him basically in what he was going to do today, in fact, instead of the kingdom he was going to establish, his second coming. That's the idea here. And Paul's basically saying, listen, we made that mistake once with Jesus. We shouldn't do it with his followers. He says, we did that. He said, we looked at him from a worldly point of view. He says, though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Now, let's go to verse 17, which we recognize and see a little bit more. So this is what it says. Therefore, because we don't do that, because we don't judge people necessarily in this moment that they'll never become wheat, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. The new is here. I know I've mentioned this story before, but it just fits too well, because I truly believe that as far as someone who brought forth the gospel to more people in this world during this season of our world than anybody is a guy that I've talked about before. In fact, you know, his name is Phil. You know, and I don't know if you've ever watched the television show with the duck guys, the Duck Dynasty guys. You know, he was a guy. And I've mentioned this before. They actually put out a movie about his life. It's called The Blind. And it shows his life before Jesus. And let me just explain this to you. Let me get real simple. He was some weeds, man. He was some serious weeds. And there's a moment in that story where they've talked about it in the movie, they talked about it in real life, where basically, I don't know if it was Kay's brother-in-law or a pastor or something, I don't know, it doesn't matter. But they made a comment that if that guy ever found Jesus, he would literally transform the world. And if you had known him then, and I've seen, listen, I've seen the movie, I've seen the interviews after the movie, and they were like, oh, by the way, this is nothing like it was. It was much, much, much worse. And you saw him at that time, you would have gone, God, that's some weeds, and you need to get rid of them. Pull those weeds. And God said, you may think they're weeds, but they're just pre-wheat. And because of what happened in his life, you see, that took place, that 2 Corinthians 5:17 took place in him. And I truly believe that over the last 10, 15, even 20 years, more people have heard the gospel because of that man. And I remember just a couple months ago now, I don't know, maybe it's six, maybe whatever, maybe a year, time goes. You know, he passed. He went to be with Jesus. And I remember thinking when Em told me, she said, Phil Robertson passed away. I remember thinking,
Man, what a moment that must have been for him. Well done, you know? And for some of us, listen, hear me here. We need to stop writing the last chapter of people's stories and instead see people as who they could be if God truly got a hold of their lives. You see, the problem that we have when we start understanding and making decisions on people's life, well, that's weed, that's wheat, that's this, that's that, is we basically begin to write them off. We go, God, you could never do this. God, you could never make an impact. God, you could never make them who into the wheat. And God says, you really, trust me, I can do anything. And for some of us, listen, there are people in your life right now who you've written off. You said, well, Aaron, they did this, they did that. Yes, maybe they have. You see, here's how I know that anybody can be changed. Here's how I know that basically anyone, God can take a we and turn it into a we. Here's how I know it, because he did it in my life. He took me when I was a weed, a poisonous wheat, and he transformed my heart and turned me into wheat. Am I perfect wheat? No, I'm not perfect wheat. There's some times where the darnel grows in my heart too. But I'm so glad that God didn't give up on me. Listen, there are people in your life that God has specifically placed you in their path to not give up on them. To tell them, no, it doesn't matter what you've done. God's grace is enough. It doesn't matter the mistakes you've made. God can come and take your sin, even though they're like scarlet. He can make them white as snow. Some of you are placed specifically and strategically in people's lives. But listen, if you write them off and make the decision that they're weeds and not wheat, you will miss an opportunity to do something great for the kingdom. So we need to understand that in the growing, sometimes we won't always be able to tell the difference. God says, listen, now is not the time, but the time is coming, because the third act is the knowing act. There's the sowing act, the growing act, and the knowing act. Matthew 13:30, here's what it says, basically, as God begins to bring all this to a close. He says, let them both grow together until the harvest. Now, the harvest here, as we see later on in chapter 13, is basically the second coming. Okay, it's harvest time. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn. So what's interesting here is we really can see two sides of a coin. And the first side, we kind of talked a little bit about in the growing act, where there are sometimes some weeds that God's going to transform into wheat, and that's why the harvest is waiting. But here's the deal. The harvest will come, okay? And here's what's great about the harvest. You don't judge and I don't judge. God judges. And he knows the difference between weeds and wheat. You see, you know, I talked about this before. It's like, unless we really understood the differences between the two, we would probably make mistakes. In fact, I know I have. I've made mistakes before. I've made mistakes. I've looked at somebody and basically said, oh, that's got to be weeds. And God says, oh, no, that's wheat, or vice versa. And here's the thing. That's the problem. Some of us, we are truly not really wheat. We're weeds. And God knows the difference. God knows the difference. You see, that's the thing that we need to stop and really look and wonder and try to allow us to have a moment with the Holy Spirit to reveal in our hearts. You see, some are weeds that are trying to fool everyone into thinking that they are wheat, and God knows the difference from the produce of your heart. You see, you may sit there and go, oh boy, God, you know, really come and really pull all the weeds out. And God may be in a loving, caring way looking at you and saying, you know what? There's a lot of weeds growing in your heart. And maybe we shouldn't be so quick to have a desire for God to come along and start yanking out the weeds. In fact, maybe it's a moment that we begin once again to take a time out and look and go, is my heart producing the type of fruit that Jesus talks about in the earlier parable that we talked about last week, where there's a harvest and growth and 3, 6, 100 times or whatever it is? You see, because what's interesting about this story is it happens basically right after the story of the soils. What's interesting is in that parable, Jesus talks about weeds and how they can choke out the things of God and choke out the things that he wants to produce in your heart. But here's the thing, there will come a day where the harvest will come. Listen, that's not hyperbole. That's not, oh, isn't that just a wonderful story? There will be a day where the harvest comes. And listen, I know this is as obvious as the nose on my face, but we're closer today than we've ever been. The harvest is coming, and it's coming soon. And we need to understand that God knows the difference between weeds and wheat. Look at 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2:19 says this, "Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription, 'The Lord knows those who are his.' Everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness." The Lord knows who are his. Now listen, you may fool me, you may fool your spouse, you may fool this church, you may fool your boss, you may fool your teacher, you may fool your kids, you may fool your parents, you may fool them all, but you'll never fool God. He knows. He knows the difference between the wheat and the weeds. And Jesus isn't telling us this to basically make us go be afraid and cower in the corner. He's actually telling us this because he loves us and he wants us to understand that ultimately we need to get this, that at the end of everything in our lives, there are only two destinies. There's only two. In fact, we see it here in this story, in the parable. Number one, you'll be bundled up and burned, or you'll be brought into the barn of God. I would love to sit here and say, well, let's open up scripture and let's look here and look, there's option three, there's option four, there's option five, there's option six. But I'm just going to be real clear with you, real honest with you. They don't exist in this scripture. You'll be bundled up and burned, or you'll be brought into the barn of God. And here's the thing that I've always heard said, and I truly believe this is the case. One day, we're going to be surprised on who made it and who didn't. I mean, I don't know if that makes me feel good or bad. I'm not sure. I hope that one day when we're all in eternity, there's nobody coming up to me going, "Oh, Aaron, I'm shocked. How did you? Wow, God's really good, you know." But you know what? Looking back on my life and how I handled certain situations, maybe I wasn't around people a ton or whatever, but you know what? There may be some people in my life that go, "Whew, I'm shocked." Maybe those people looked at me and said, "God, maybe you should pull the weeds." And God said, "No, there's some wheat there. But there's another side of that coin. And the other side of that coin is simply, not only will we be surprised who is there, we're probably also going to be surprised who isn't." It's interesting that Jesus tells us that story in the story of the sheep and the goats, wherein basically at the end, God begins to divide out sheep and goats. And just to make it real simple, sheep good, goats bad. And he looks at the sheep and he says, "Enter into my kingdom, you, I know you." And he looks at the goats and he says, "Depart from me, I never knew you." And what's interesting in that story, the goats begin to argue with Jesus a little bit. They begin to say, but look at all the things we did. This is interesting. He says, we cast out demons in your name. We did this, we did that, we did this, we did that. It's all about the things they did. And yet Jesus looks at him and says, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Now here's what's interesting. The sheep did stuff too. You know, he says, "Listen, when I was in prison, you came and visited me. You brought a cup of cold water, those types of things. I mean, it didn't have to be. Nowhere did it say they went and became missionaries to Africa. Now, if you want to become a missionary to Africa, that's what God's called you to do, then God bless you, do it. But the sheep and the goats both did things. The difference is interesting. The difference was who Jesus knew and who Jesus didn't. In that story, it kind of parallels this one. Are you wheat or are you weeds? You say, I don't know which one I am. I don't want to be bundled up. I want to go into the barn. To do that, to be even transformed. You know, some of it, you know, you may go, well, I'm definitely weeds. Well, you know what's so great about our Jesus is he can transform weeds into wheat. And here's the deal. Maybe there have been people in your life that have looked at you and basically through their words, their actions, through their whatever, they've looked at you and pointed a finger and said, but you're nothing but weeds. You'll never be anything but weeds. To lie from the pit of hell. Listen, hear me. There has never been, there will never be a weed that through the power of Jesus can't be transformed into wheat. But the thing is, we need the transforming power of the goodness, the grace, the mercy, and the love of Jesus to transform our hearts. You can't transform it on your own. You can work, you can do all those things. You could be just like a goat and do it all and not truly know him. And Jesus is saying, listen, when it comes to the end of all things, when it comes either to the end of your life here or Jesus ends it all, when the kingdom comes, there's only two options. There's only two destinies. And no matter where you are at this morning, God can transform your heart and make you into what he's called you to be. Can we do this? Let's bow our heads. Let's close. Let's focus a little bit. So there's really two parts of this that we need to kind of really dive into. Number one, real simple question. Are you weed or are you wheat? You say, Aaron, how do I answer that question? Real simply, do you know Jesus and does Jesus know you? And not, oh yes, I understand a little bit of the concept of who he is, blah, blah, blah. No. Have you laid down your life for him as he laid down his for you? Have you basically said, you know what, Jesus, to go along with the story, I'm weed. I got some poison that's coming in and out of me. In a lot of ways, we call that sin. That poison that comes out in a lot of ways, sin does this. It destroys you and those it touches, just like poison. And you look at your heart and your life and you go, you know what, I'm just that. Listen, if that's you, I got some amazing good news. Just like we read in 2 Corinthians, God can make you brand new. He can make you into wheat that will grow in his kingdom and produce a harvest. And instead of bringing death, will bring life to those you come in contact with. And ultimately, give you eternal life. So that's the first question. Are you in that position? Because here's the deal. No matter who's lied to you and communicated to you that you'll never be anything but weeds, listen, they have no authority and no power over your heart and over your life because they didn't create you. What they say is simply words. Especially when those words contradict what the scriptures say and what God says about you. And what he says about you is you're precious to him, that he loves you, that he wants to welcome you into his family, that he can make you brand new, that he can take you, no matter how weedy your heart is, and turn it into a wheat that will change your life and those around you. But the only way you can do it, the only way that can happen, is if you come to Him and allow Him to transform you. Listen, I got weeds in my yard, and I don't like them there. But there's not much I can do. Listen, I can pull them. I can try to put stuff down. I can do, and listen, and I've tried, you know what? And no matter how hard I try, I still got weeds. They still find a way to grow. When we lived in Albuquerque, we didn't have grass. We had rocks. And you think, oh, well, I'll never have weeds. We had weeds in the rocks. They find a way. But there's a difference between trying to deal with the weeds, and there's a difference between a weed being transformed into wheat. You see, that's what Jesus does. What we try to do is we try to, by behavior or by manipulation or by all these things, we try to basically live a life of weed avoidance or weed mitigation or weed dealing with them. Weed pops up, we run over and we try to pull the weed. And listen, that's exhausting, it's tiring, and the bottom line is this, in those moments, you're still a goat. You may be busy trying to pull the weeds in your own life, but you don't know Jesus, and Jesus doesn't know you. What Jesus does is different. Jesus takes the weeds of our heart and transforms them into something different. And yes, that takes time. And yes, there's a process of sanctification that takes place. But listen, I would rather my heart be transformed by Jesus than me trying to just mitigate the things that are going to naturally grow there. And that's what Jesus does. So if you want to stop trying to deal with the weeds and instead let the Jesus that we serve and love, that laid down His life for us, start transforming your weeds into wheat, there's only one way to do that, and it's by Him knowing you and you knowing Him. It's by you going to Him and saying, Father, I'm a sinner. I need You. I proclaim that I need Your forgiveness, and I need to make You, I want to make You Savior and Lord of my life. But for others, we've done that. We've done that. But what we tend to do at times is we believe that we in our hearts can have our section of weeds and our section of wheat. We can grow them separately in a lot of ways. And so in certain areas, maybe Sunday morning, you know, we want to make sure our weed is really showing off into people's lives. But you know what? There's a little bit of weeds. You know, I'm not a farmer, never was, never will be, but I'll tell you what, I really truly do not believe that you can grow weeds and wheat in the same area. In fact, what's interesting is I was talking to somebody here in the church, and she kind of mentioned something to me, because we sometimes have a weed problem around here, and we got rocks, you know. And she and I were talking about it, and I said, boy, I'm really sick of these weeds. I really don't know what to do about them, blah, blah, blah. And she kind of made the comment. She said, well, you realize that all these weeds come from the abandoned lot next door. And, of course, I didn't, because I'm, you know, not that smart. And I looked, and I was like, oh, look, there's a huge, huge plot of land. And guess what's mostly in it? Weeds. And when the weeds come, then they, obviously, the seeds go up. They go up in the air. And where do they think it's a good idea to land? Right in our church. The reason why we have so many weeds sometimes at our church is because we have areas all around us, to the west and to the south, that are full of weeds. And we think, as believers, we can have a divided heart. We can let some weeds grow and let some wheat grow, and they won't come in contact. Listen, I promise you that's not how it works. And you can handle that for a while, but just like in the story of the soils, eventually those weeds are going to get into your wheat and start choking things out. You can't live a life of a believer and be used by God the way He truly wants to use you and have bitterness and anger growing in your heart. They're diametrically opposed. God can still use you, but not to the full. We need to go into our own hearts as believers and start saying, Lord, are there some weeds? Are there some weeds? Because here's the thing. This is interesting. In the story, the angels want to go, and they want to start pulling out the weeds. And God says, no, you don't know the difference. But here's what I know. One of the reasons we have the Holy Spirit is because He can reveal in our hearts the difference between weeds and wheat. And He's inviting you and me with His help, not without it, with His help, to examine our hearts so that He can identify, hey, Aaron, listen, you got some weeds over there, let's pull them. Yeah, you got some great things growing. I'm proud of that. That's awesome. But you also got some weeds. Let's go together. Let's pull some weeds. Let's get some things out. Because here's what's great. When you start pulling weeds, those plots, God comes and He plants more wheat. It's how we become less of us and more of Him. And so we have to take some moments and let the Holy Spirit examine our lives and go, where, God? Where are there some weeds that I can pull with your help so that my heart becomes full of what you desire for it? And so there can be that harvest. So whether that's the first one and for the first time you need to basically, your heart is full of weeds and you just need God to immediately in His love, grace, and mercy transform you into a new creation. Or maybe you've had that happen, but you've let some weeds grow in. You thought maybe you could handle them both, and you're realizing that you can't. And you need God to come with your help and His help and start identifying those things so those things can be pulled out. Whichever it is, God wants to do that in your heart this morning. Will you allow it? Will you invite Him in? Whether it's for the first time or whether if it's once again, look at our hearts and have a little weeding session so God can produce more. Whatever it is, God's got you. God loves you. God wants you to be His. But He allows you to choose. Which will you choose today? Will you choose Him? Or will you choose to allow the weeds to grow? Because eventually, if you do, there will be a day where they're gathered up and they're burned. But He's offering you the opportunity for that not to take place and for you to be gathered up and brought into His barn and live eternally with Him. You get to choose. And you can choose right now as we pray. So, Father, we come to You. We love You, and we thank You. And God, when we look at this story of the weeds and the wheat, you know, it can be real easy for us to kind of decide real quick, oh, I'm definitely weeds, I'm definitely wheat. And Father, I pray that if we are weeds, that we can come to You and know that, God, You can transform us. In fact, God, I pray right now that there may be individuals that are doing that, maybe here, maybe online, that are basically surrendering their life to You. And God, when You do that, just like we read, they're a new creation. And there is no one and nothing that You won't welcome into Your family and forgive. But God, that also is, we need to understand that today is the day. The harvest hasn't come yet, but the harvest is coming. And God, maybe there are others of us who love to try to kind of fool people. But in our hearts, we know that there are some weeds growing that aren't good, that eventually are going to start choking out, if they haven't already, some of the wheat that You're trying to grow in us and through us. And Father, I pray that you would come and we allow this. God, we yield to Your Holy Spirit this morning. And we say, Father, Holy Spirit, come and show me those areas in my life and in my heart where I've let the weeds grow, so that I can, with Your identification, begin to pull them out so that more wheat can be planted in me, so that I can become an individual that brings forth a good harvest for You. So, Father, no matter where we're at in this, no matter who we are in this story or in this situation, one thing that we can always and we should all remember, every single one of us, is Jesus, You are greater than just weed mitigation and weed elimination. You transform weeds into wheat. you change it all in our hearts, as you will one day in your kingdom. So, Father, no matter where we're at, God, I pray that our hearts would be full of you, full of the wheat that you desire to grow in us, so that we can be people that bring forth a harvest for you. We love you. And we thank you. You're so good. And we love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Awesome. Awesome. So again, thank you so much for being here. For those that are online, hope that you're well. Hope that you're doing great wherever you may be. Remember, just quick reminder, no youth tonight, but they will be back next week. We got community groups starting today and this week, so want to make sure you're aware of all those things. I love you. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you soon.